welcome to our sermon series, The Beatitudes. Today's message is entitled, Blessed Are the Poor in Spirit. May you be blessed as we share God's word with you today.
That says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know what your response would be, but I know what mine would be. If someone said to me, Brother, you are poor, and you are very blessed, I don't think I would have the right word to say to that person, because being poor on this world means you are going to want to be begging all the time. Or as the government would like to put it, you are going to be living on benefits. Now, let's start off by trying to define what blessed means. I googled it. I went on to few sites, and the common definitions that came up was made holy by religious ceremony or consecrated, worthy of deep reverence or respect, characterized by happiness or good fortune, having a blessed time, bringing great happiness of or good fortune. And if you want to go to the euphemistic side of things, it's damned. Now, in the context in which Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, he was most likely indicating an enviable state. When a person has acquired good fortune, we call him blessed, but in the Beatitudes, Jesus calls some people blessed who appear to be quite the opposite. People who are poor or mourn don't seem to be blessed, according to most other people. Jesus is contrasting the world's idea of happiness with true blessedness. Spiritual prosperity, which comes from a right relationship with God. So, in other words, when he says, blessed are the poor, he is saying that our relationship with God is not up to the level it should be. And let's go and define what's poor. I googled it up again, and definition of poor is impoverished, beggarly, needy, needful, deficient, defective, faulty, imperfect, inferior or mediocre. Now, what are the characteristics of those who are poor in spirit when we combine these two words together? Personal acknowledgement of our spiritual bankruptcy before God and an honest appraisal and confession that we are sinful and we need repentance. Now, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he is declaring that before we can enter God's kingdom, we must recognize our utter worthlessness of our spiritual currency and the inability of our own works to salvation. Now, the poor in spirit are not arrogant. They do not make much of themselves and talk about what they are doing for God. Instead, they say, what do I have that I did not receive from God? I owe God everything and I can give him nothing. God owes me nothing and he has given me everything. And people who are poor in spirit, just like those who are poor in material possessions, are not afraid to ask. People who know their own need have an active prayer life, and when they pray, they ask and are in a position to receive. People who feel they have something to offer God are always coming to him with their hands full. Lord, this is what I want to offer you. Now, why would Jesus be concerned about the poor in spirit? Now, in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders at the time, felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. Now, those who think are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. The prayer of the Pharisees is a typical example of this in Luke 18:11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other robbers or other people, robbers, evildoers or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, this Pharisee expressed the feeling of the Pharisees at the time, and to a greater degree for the whole nation of Israel. They were proud because of their chosen nation status. The Pharisee prayed about himself. You notice he says, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, etc. The striking thing about this prayer is that he comes to God and he never asks for a thing. Why was that? Because he feels no need to ask as he is rich in his own estimation. This is spiritual pride and the worst form of pride we can have. And in James 4 verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Often in this world, the richer we are in things, the poorer we are in our hearts. And Jesus reminds us in Revelation 3 verse 17, you say I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing, and you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked. Now, let's look in the Bible to see if we can find examples of people who recognized their poverty in spirit. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector I mentioned earlier, the tax collector standing at a distance, or we see the tax collector standing at a distance, in the temple before God, beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, he had recognized his utter poverty of the Spirit, and he didn't feel he was even justified to come and pray. But we notice in Luke 18, verse 9 to 14, that he went home justified before God. In Matthew 23, 12, Jesus said, all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And in Luke 5, verse 8, when the miraculous catching of fish revealed the divine power of Christ to Peter and his fellow fishermen, Peter fell at Jesus' feet, exclaiming, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter realized his utter poverty of the Spirit before God. The prophet Isaiah was one of the most talented people who ever lived before the time of Jesus. He was even called the silver-tongued prophet. If he was around today, he would be another Bill Graham. Wherever he went, he would have had holes full up and fully booked, and people would be following him on Twitter and other social media. Now, in Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 4, we record, or rather it's recorded, his testimony. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his robe filled the temple. The seraphim called out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The foundations shook, the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost. Isaiah saw his worthlessness in relation to the Lord, and he declared he was lost. How much more should we feel lost and in need of salvation? And in Romans 7, verse 24 and 25, Paul described himself as a wretched man. O wretched man I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said he had struggled and wrestled in his own power to obey the holy law, but had failed. He had to confess his weakness and helplessness, having realized his poverty in spirit, that the power of sin was holding him down. He cried out, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit could take control of his life from that point. Now, going back to why the poor are blessed, Jesus opens his ministry in Luke 4, verses 16 to 18, by reading from Isaiah 61, verse 1, saying that he has come to preach the gospel to the poor. When John the Baptist questions whether Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus replies, the good news is being preached to the poor. That's Matthew 11, 5. This suggests that being poor in spirit is the very first mark or the starting point and condition of a person to walk with God and enter into the joy of the kingdom of God. It is the gateway to blessing that leads to all other blessings we see in the Beatitudes. Without this no other blessings are within our reach. You can't have someone mourning their sin if they haven't recognized the utter poverty of their spirit. Now, the Lord looks on with favor to those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at his word. That's Isaiah 66, verse 2. Like the poor publican or tax collector, the contrite in spirit stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven, and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God blesses them. God says he will give us a new heart and will put his spirit within us. That's Isaiah 1 verses 18. Those who are financially poor live with a sense of desperate need and dependence on others. We likewise should have a sense of desperate need and dependence on Jesus. Now, what did Jesus mean when he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? Why would it be the case? We notice Jesus speaks about heaven in the present tense. I think it's one of only two Beatitudes where it's in the present. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's theirs already. But what is our understanding of heaven? It's a place. As Brother Errol said in his prayer, where there will be no more pain. Perhaps some people imagine the streets of gold. And yet, Jesus is saying, you know, the kingdom of heaven belongs to the poor now. So, what does that mean exactly? They have to taste heaven now. He's talking about the kingdom that we all hope for, not the kingdom that the Pharisees were talking about, which was a temporary kingdom they thought was going to be established here on earth by Jesus. But this is a spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. Ellen White, in his book on Mount of Blessings, says that though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them, the poor, which will qualify them to inherit the kingdom of heaven that is stated in Colossians 1, verse 12. And Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's Matthew 11, 28. He bids us exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. Isaiah 57 describes where God dwells. It says, 57 verse 15, the Lord lives in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Hence we say Jesus lives his life in us. So, brothers and sisters, to conclude this short sermon, you can't cling to the cross of Jesus when your hands are full. Only those who come to God empty-handed, aware of their own need, can cling to the cross. That is why the old hymn that we sang, "Rock of Ages Cleft for Me," says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling." When you know you have nothing to offer God, you are in a position to receive everything he offers. That's why the blessing of God rests on the poor in spirit. Heaven is theirs because their hands are open to receive it. People who are poor in spirit boast in the cross. And Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 14, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." My prayer is, as Ellen White admonishes, that we do not feel rich and increased with goods and feeling in need of nothing, and turn with scorn from the gracious gift the Lord extends to us. If we feel whole and think that we are reasonably good and are contented with our condition, we will not seek the grace and righteousness of Christ. Whatever may have been our past experience, however discouraging our present circumstances, if we will come to Jesus just as we are, weak, helpless, poor, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet us where we are and cover us with his robe of righteousness. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 45, 24 and 25, "In the Lord alone have I righteousness and strength." This is my prayer this morning.